Right, let's get started. Let's officially start this up. So if I could get you, Sarah, to introduce yourself, obviously, probably a lot of people are aware who you are, but it'd be really nice just to have a nice little intro of who you are and what you get up to.
Yeah, so I'm Sarah Tipple. My main job role, I've just moved job role actually with the same
Cool.
company, with specialist trade courses, but I'm now head of teaching, learning, and quality assurance. So my job role covers all kinds of support for the educators within our company and making sure that the delivery of our qualifications is meaningful and is whilst it's linked to the curriculum that people are coming to get, they also get additional life skills and social skills out of each and every training package. So that's my kind of main focus. But I am also an EQA for Qualify. I'm an IQA independently and the founder of HBQA, which is the Hair and Beauty Quality Advisors, which is again like a support around the education side of things and quality assurance, but that part of it is focused specifically for hair and beauty and aesthetics educators. So a little bit of everything, background in hair, beauty, and aesthetics, but mainly involved in education and quality assurance.
That's amazing. So basically, you're the best person to chat to about our topic today, then.
Hopefully. It's fast becoming my favorite topic. So yeah, if I forget to breathe, it's pure excitement.
I love that. Brilliant. So my first question for you today to start off, obviously you're saying, you're right in the thick of it with being a hair and beauty educator, looking at the education, how it's changing. So like what key changes have you noticed have been happening? Because obviously, the industry as a whole is changing. There's a lot going on. There's whispers of all sorts, but obviously you've got more of your finger on the pulse, so to speak.
Yeah, so I would say the changes that we've experienced in recent months and years, most people in beauty and aesthetics at the moment are aware that there is a pending regulation change that is still in consultation phase. We know it's happening, we know it is going to come in, but exactly what the changes look like, we still don't quite know. So that is pushing people to get higher level qualifications and regulated qualifications. So that's changing the landscape quite significantly. It means that the quality of education that we're seeing is improving. However, at the moment, it is still optional for people to follow that route. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, but it is slowly moving in the right direction, I would say. In terms of the move to those regulated qualifications, one of the main things that I think should be brought to people's attention at the moment is the fact that the educators that are delivering those regulated higher level qualifications need to have an Ofqual regulated level 5 teaching qualification. So at the moment, we've got the diploma in education and training at level 5. It used to be the diploma in teaching the lifelong learning sector, or what was known as DETLs. They are equivalent qualifications. It's also equivalent to what you might have heard of, a PGCE or a Cert Ed, which are provided by a higher education providers. Again, they're all at the same level, they're all at level 5. The proposed changes, however, in my opinion, are going to shake up the hair and beauty sector significantly. So the intention of these is that it shakes up education and teaching across the board for all vocational subjects. This isn't aimed at our sector in particular, but there is a need for vocational tutors to do and to know more than just their subject. And at the moment, this is a bit of a grey area for educators in beauty and aesthetics in particular. And yeah, these new changes, they're looking at bringing it in from September 2024, so less than 6 months away. The intention is that they are equivalent to the level five apprenticeship in teaching. Now, the apprenticeship setup doesn't work for everybody because you need to be employed in that role full time. And very often we find that our educators in hair, beauty, and aesthetics aren't full time because they're still in industry. And in all honesty, personally, I think that's better because you've still got that current industry link as well as the teaching. So for a lot of reasons, the apprenticeship doesn't necessarily fit with our industry as well as we might like it to. So the government have done a bit of a reform. They've reached out to the Education Training Foundation and they've worked together to bring up the standards for a new diploma in teaching. And that should be, the intention is that that goes live in September and replaces the current from September. Now, one thing that I will say is whenever there's new qualifications, the awarding organisations that provide the existing ones have the opportunity to request an extension on the qualifications that they've already got. So whilst the intention is that this comes in from September and replaces what's currently there, I would urge people to reach out to their own awarding organisations and find out what, if any, replacement is being offered by the awarding organisation. And again, another key point there is that an awarding organisation doesn't have to offer any particular qualification. So they could very well turn around and say, do you know what? This new one's going to be too hard for us to manage. We're not going to offer it at all. It's unlikely, but they could. So it's worth doing your research, speaking to your account manager, to your awarding organisation, seeing what their plans are, and seeing how on track they are for the changeover in September.
That sounds really key as well, because I think a lot of people might kind of hear that and then absolutely panic and be like, right, okay, well, what's going on with this? And so the fact that, a lot of them will probably extend that, or at least try to, those that are currently on the course can at least try and finish it before things get changed over to the new diploma. At least, you've got that reassurance, hopefully. And I'd like to think, obviously, as well, that the awarding bodies will then reach out and be like, okay, so by the way, this is what's going to be happening. Don't panic and make sure that
Generally,
everyone transitions smoothly if needs be.
yeah, absolutely. Generally, with any new qualification, they will do some kind of webinar, standardization meeting. It could be that organizations direct you to your EQA. It could be that they hold internal standardization, stuff like that. But generally, they have that information available in some format and they encourage the centers to connect that way. I think that the main point that we're going to see with the aesthetics sector and for anything, level four really, but definitely five and above, is that the level five teaching qualification is mandatory for the educators. So if there is a change, then that change, we're going to have to communicate what that change is to the centers to allow them to make sure that their team are suitably qualified or at least working towards on the right qualification.
What could you say then would be, I mean, obviously a lot of it's kind of out of people's hands per se, but like what can people do to kind of prepare for those changes that are coming? Like, is there anything, or even just like, just look it up for themselves so they have that understanding?
Yeah, so there's a few differences from the current level five diploma in education training. And the reason that I focus on that one is because that is what the majority of awarding organisations offer. You can go, if you went to go for the Cert Ed or a PGCE via a higher education provider, such as a uni or a college linked to a university, there will be different requirements anyway. However, the most common route is the diploma in education and training. So, with the new standards, excuse me, the new standards that are proposed from September, you have an entry requirement with the new qualification, which is to already hold a level two in English and maths. So that is GCSE A to C or A star to C. I think that might be a four or above in the
Sounds about
new
right, because they've moved it now
Australian
to a number
system.
scale, haven't they? Just to make things more, difficult.
Or a functional skills level two in maths or English. So that is going to be an entry requirement, a prerequisite for learners that want to go on to the new level five diploma in teaching. And the reason that they put that in there is so that whilst you are teaching, you're able to support your own learners with their English and maths. At the moment, that's not a requirement. It's a nice to have. You need to be able to show that you can study and write at level five, but actually, you being able to do that for yourself in, a potentially flexible time frame is very different to supporting your learners to be able to write up to level five, level seven. So that's one of the main changes to the entry requirements. There is also, I'm going to talk about some of the core changes to the content in a second, but one of the new core units is digital skills. So you again, you're going to find that centres are going to need to check what digital skills a learner's already got. Otherwise, they need to be able to provide that training so that as part of their teacher training, they can also be offering digital skills to learners. That's going to be one of the biggest challenges, I would say. The other changes that are going to affect how and when you're able to access these qualifications are at the moment, there's a 100 hours teaching placement requirement. And of those 100 hours, you are observed for eight. The new standards are going to be a minimum of 250 hours in two placements, not just one. There's some flexibility around the two placements, but it's not a lot of flexibility. Of those 250 hours, 150 need to be actively teaching groups of 10 or more learners in your subject specialism. Now, this is a barrier for our sector because we don't have that amount of learners in classes generally, due to, in some cases, safety. So there will be ways that we are able to discuss with our awarding organisations to make sure that the evidence is right and it meets the standards, but that you're not having to constantly teach 10 in a class because that is a risk. But that's going to take some thinking outside of the box. So, each awarding organisation may decide that they're going to give you some requirements on how that looks, and others might allow you to be slightly more flexible and have your plans approved. However, it is going to be 150 teaching hours of your subject specialism. The other 100 hours are related practice. So they're things like your CPD, your shadowing, supporting other teachers, team meetings, standardisation. So it's really looking at that wider teaching role and getting our newly qualified teachers to understand that it's not turning up at 9 o'clock for a 9:30 lesson, leaving at 5 o'clock, and that's it. There is CPD involved. You do need to attend team meetings. You do need to standardize with your team and the wider community to be able to provide a good, solid teaching service to your learners. So this new process includes all of that as mandatory in with those hours. Now you can, you're expected to be doing some of your teaching remotely. So they're portioning up how much is going to be able to be remote and how much will be face to face. At the moment, it's looking like around about 20 hours of remote delivery and the rest of it face to face, because again, they don't want to lose this face to face teaching. But there is a need, and there is an ability to have some of this remote. So, we tend to have tutors, some that love the remote and they don't really want to leave their home, and others that don't want to touch a computer. And we're trying to make it work. So it's getting teachers to understand that actually those methods of delivery will vary, and you need to be observed in both situations. So that's going to be a big change to, who can actually access this because of the amount of hours that you need to be able to meet. You will also need to be able to provide two mentors. Okay, so one mentor is going to be a subject specialist who should be involved in some of your assessments. The other mentor will be a pastoral mentor, and that pastoral mentor could be any teacher from any subject, and they're there to help you look at your teaching methodologies, your different situations, whether or not they're able to contextualize into your subject or not. That's looking at your wider teaching role. So you do need to have two mentors, and those mentors need to agree to at least 30 minutes a week engagement with you. So again, we don't know at the moment whether or not that is going to be 30 minutes a week, or whether or not that's going to be on average 2 hours a month. So you could potentially have a day with your mentor every 3 months, or that's the bit that we don't know what it looks like, but we do know that the intention for the mentors is going to be there. So again, we're looking at people really leaning on those who are more experienced, who are already qualified, who have already taken part in that wider teaching role to be guiding our newly qualified teachers. It's not just going to be signing up, getting your online course materials, submitting your assignments, jumping on Teams for an observation, and here's a level 5 teaching qualification. So that's going to shake up a fair bit when it comes to, who you pick as your provider, I guess, and when the timing is right for you to go and sign up for this qualification. The assessments at the moment, you have 8 hour long assessments. They are moving this to 10 assessments. That will be around about 45 minutes, or a minimum of 45 minutes each. And again, they're going to be allowing you to do remote sessions and a mixture of face to face. So that side of it shouldn't have changed too much. But at the end, so you'll have your 10 assessments instead of 8, your portfolio will be the same, so there'll be essays, but then you'll also have a 30-minute professional discussion with two qualified teachers at the end. And it will be up to the awarding organisations to determine who those teachers need to be. So, can it be someone from the provider? Should it be someone from the placement? Could it be someone from the awarding organisation? That detail is still to be designed, but it is going to be a minimum of a 30-minute professional discussion with two qualified teachers. So they're really going to be putting the newly qualified teachers through their paces to make sure that they know and that they understand what they are teaching and why, how they are teaching it, and not just, that they can turn up and demonstrate a procedure and then the learners can submit some coursework. If I had £1 for every time somebody said to me, well, they have shown their learner this, and we have to say to them, showing them isn't teaching them. That's a demonstration, It isn't just about whether or not you can say, on this date, I talked about, it is about teaching. So it's really pulling everything together and showing in the, the extended time frame, the extended assessments, the professional discussion, how you are actually taking a learner and moving them closer to their goal, not just covering criteria that enables a certificate. So
Yeah.
that's great, in my opinion. That's great. For the people that are still to do this qualification, it is going to be harder. It's going to be harder, and there's going to be barriers to people being able to do it. However, we are starting to see more of the qualifications holding minimum time requirements. People need to be on program for 6 months or for a year. And in that time, those learners have questions and they need support and they need help with things like e-portfolios and how to evidence, just as much as they need help with the content. And whilst we see a huge amount of very talented, dedicated teachers to the content, they just don't have the skills to support the other side of the learning process. So this qualification is there to try and help that. And then lastly, because it does go on, lastly, the changes to the content aren't huge. Each awarding organisation will be able to design their own content slightly. They'll have units that have got themes that they need to make sure that they cover specific content in, but the actual each piece of criteria may not be exactly the same for the optional units or even for the mandatory units. What we are seeing is that the standards specify that there needs to be this mandatory unit in digital skills. And they also need to show sustainability and equality, diversity, and inclusion themes are running throughout all of the education. So it needs to be inclusive, it needs to be current, and it needs to cover all of those themes whilst it's being delivered. And then, in turn, whilst the learner is delivering to their learners, they should also be passing that on and recording that that theme is running through their teaching. And there will be, in one of the mandatory units, there will be specific content around government policy for education. So this is not just about people being able to teach their topic anymore. It's about people being teachers and, losing the training side of things. Like, we've got the diploma in education and training, we're moving to the diploma in teaching. This is about making those people that are passing on those skills accountable for teaching as opposed to just demonstrating a skill and issuing certificates.
I think that's
So,
really key.
in a nutshell, they're your key changes.
That's amazing. Does anyone have any questions on that absolutely mountain of information, but very useful information?
No, I think I'm the only one here, but I'm a bit I think it needs to happen. I have to say I'm really glad I don't have to do it. The new one, because of the changes. I can't say I found the DET easy anyway, so let alone with these additional changes. And then the extra hours, the two placements, it's not going to be that easy for a lot of people to do in our industry. And I do think it will stop a lot of training academies, to be honest, because people won't be able to gain that qualification to be able to deliver, level five and above courses. I think it's
Yeah.
a huge shakeup.
We're going to need, in my opinion, on first reflection, we're going to need to have some quite strong support systems. My main focus for this session was to look at those changes and how I think they're going to improve the quality of teaching and learning in our industry. But it does kind of open up that opportunity to mention the HBQA setup, because that has been solely set up from me seeing these issues time and time again in various different settings. And you know what I'm talking about isn't just independent training providers that want to better the industry. We could be talking schools, you know, we're talking colleges. We've got tutors that are going in and they've had the basic training and they're eligible to teach on paper. But we're looking and we're saying, do you know what? When you're enrolling learners, don't look at whether or not they're eligible to do that course. Look at whether or not they're ready to do that course, because that's the barrier that we're finding with the independent training providers getting their learners through their qualifications. So we need to be doing the same. And actually, we need to be supporting all teachers across the board, all subjects, vocational or not, because actually, they are the people that are shaping our future.
Yes.
And if everything is going well, digital, you know, you go to the pub, you order your drink using a QR code. So we need to be supporting people to be able to use technology in a way that actually helps us, not in a detrimental way. People believe that the use of technology is social media apps, ordering their shopping online. But there's so much that we could do. And that starts with having an experienced, enthusiastic teacher that wants to see people progress, not just somebody that wants to turn up, show their craft, and move on. And I think that we've got that. We have got that in the industry, but we just need to be able to label it almost and say, because there's so many teachers. I speak to people all the time in the evenings and stuff like that when we probably shouldn't be talking to people. You know, we should be switching off, and they're still working, you know, they're still answering learner questions, they're still trying to support. You can see people on social media, they're still trying to offer that wraparound support, but actually, nobody's given them the tools to be able to do that. Nobody's actually given them that motivation. They've had to muster that up themselves. So I think it's important that, you know, we generate some mentors from somewhere. The people that have been qualified and have held their level five for a while, people that have taught in various different sectors or settings, you know, across funding streams, private and commercial or government funded, to be able to kind of push that process and that motivation to do better.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on today. It's been really insightful. I mean, just from my point of view, but I'm sure this will be amazing for everyone else to listen to as well, because we'll be obviously releasing recording after today as well. I think we've only got about 1 minute left now, I'm afraid, because Zoom is really lovely with their countdown to 40 minutes tap.
I'm happy to take questions through, you know, the social networks and stuff like that. There's going to be questions that we can't answer. You know, I work with qualifiers and EQA. I'm not involved in the rebuild of this qualification, so the questions that I can answer are going to be limited, but I'm happy to answer what I can and try and direct people to wherever I can to get the answers that they need so they can get planning.
I do have
That
one
sounds brilliant.
quickly. I don't know
Oh, I
if
don't
we
know. I'll try
have time.
squeeze it in. Go
I
on, quick.
know. AET then, is that going to be phased out completely?
Eventually, it's in the pipeline, but there isn't an actual scheduled rollout time for the
Okay.
AET or the CET.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Well, thank you very
Brilliant.
much, ladies.
You're
Thank you
welcome.
very
Thanks
much.
for
Hope you guys have
joining.
a lovely evening. Sorry to
And
cut
you.
it a little bit short.
That's all right.
No worries. Take care.
Take
Thank
care.
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.